Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Hello, this is Donald Crisp, and I am the lead pastor at the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to bring the Good News message today. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Now think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. Now may God bless our hearing today's message, and may we commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God will bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as He speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, The Canceled IOU. This is a message that focuses on the cross. Max Lucado, in his book, No Wonder They Call Him Savior, wrote these words. The cross, it rests on the timeline of history like a compelling diamond. Its tragedy summons all sufferers. Its absurdity attracts all cynics. Its hope lures all searchers. History has idolized it and despised it, gold-plated it and burnt it, worn it and trashed it. History has done everything to it, but ignore it. That's the one option that the cross does not offer. No one can ignore it. You can't ignore a piece of lumber that suspends the greatest claim in history. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, we hear from the Apostle Paul. Listen to these words. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The message of the cross, the focus of the cross, the mission of the church is to point to the cross. Let's listen to Alan Jackson singing, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I've changed. To the old rugged cross. I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Yeah, I will cling to the old exchange it someday for a crown.
Again, the Apostle Paul wrote, "When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ." My 2 points today that I want to focus on are as follows. First, dead man walking. Just as the Apostle Paul just pointed out, as you were dead in your sins. In Ephesians 2:1, he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And Ephesians 2:4, we read, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved." We need to be clear about this. The Bible says it so clearly. Romans 6:36 reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death." While Colossians 2:13, which we've already read, says, "We were dead in our sins." Let's be clear here by defining what sin is from God's perspective. To sin is to transgress God's law and God's will. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, then it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Let's think about that for a few moments. Sin really is a two-sided issue. On one side, sin is doing what God forbids us to do. He says, "Don't steal," and when we steal, that is sin. He says, "Don't lie," and when we lie, that is sin. When he says, "Don't commit adultery," and we commit adultery, that is sin. Sin is doing what God forbids us to do. But it also is not doing what God expects us to do. God expects us to live with integrity. God expects us to live with passion. God expects us to live for Him. And when we do not meet His expectations, that is sin. There's a line between good and evil. God draws that line. And He says, when you step over that line, it is a sin. To slip over that line is also a sin. To rebel and go over that line definitely is a sin. And you know what, folks? Sometimes we just find ourselves over that line. We're not sure how we got there. But the reality is, it is sin, and we need to deal with it. Sin has a powerful lure. And as we think of that, we can think and focus on Lot for a moment. Genesis 13:10 says that Lot looked at Sodom. That Hebrew word "looked at," that phrase means he longed for it. Genesis 13:12 says that Lot moved near Sodom. Genesis 14:12 says Lot moved into Sodom. And Genesis 19:1 says that he's now at the city gate of Sodom, meaning Lot is now one of the political rulers of the city. What does all of this mean? Well, you see, Sodom is a prototype of sin. It's a picture of sin. From Lot's example, we can see the 4 steps into sin. Step 1, we look at it, and if we look long enough, we begin to long for it. Secondly, longing for it causes us to move closer to it. Thirdly, then we move right into it. And then finally, it moves into us. It has been said that it took Moses just a few days to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Oh, how true. That causes me to just remember the following. Sin will cause us to stray much further from God's will than we ever thought we would stray. Sin will cause us to stay much longer than we ever thought we would stay. and sin will cause us to pay much more than we ever thought we would pay. Yes, sin can take us to a level which we never thought we would fall. Point number two is entitled, Dead Man Alive. Dead man alive. Let's remember Colossians 2:13 said that God made you alive with Christ. First of all, he declared that we were dead in our sins and our transgressions. And then a miracle takes place when we come to Christ. God made you alive with Christ. The Apostle Paul put it another way. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ live in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The question for us today is this. Just how did God take us from death to life? I want you to picture this. Psalm 27:13. The psalmist gives us this picture. He says, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, folks, as we're on planet Earth, we're living in the land of the dying. When we come to Christ, he is able to transfer us by his promise and by the power of the cross into the land of the living. And then we can sing, as the old hymns talk about the old rugged cross, we can also sing, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let's listen to Chris Rice sing that from the Well Hymns CD.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Wash me, Savior, I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold
How did God take us from the land of the dying to the land of the living? Well, first, he forgave us all our sins, past, present, and future. That's what Colossians 2:13 says. He forgave us all our sins. Secondly, he canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. In the ancient world, the Greek term here translated written code, as found in Colossians 2:14, it actually referred to a handwritten certificate of indebtedness that obligated the signer. We in our culture would refer to this as an IOU. This note stood between him and the person he owed until the debt was paid. The debt would often become a heavy burden, which the debtor was unable to pay. Paul says here that Christ took it away and nailed it to the cross. He wiped it away. He wiped it clean. This means that Jesus has taken what we owe and canceled our debt by paying for our debt with his life as he died on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 describes this. It says, "He became sin who knew no sin." What does that mean? It means that Jesus paid the debt that he did not owe to cancel the debt that we could not pay. It has been written about in the ancient city of Venice, there was a bridge called the Bridge of Sighs. At one end of the bridge, there was a courtroom. At the other end, there was a dungeon. Above the door to the dungeon were the words, "Abandon hope, all ye that enter herein." Now try to picture a man who has been sentenced to spend his life in the dungeon. As he walks across the bridge, he takes a long last look at the sun and bids a last farewell to his loved ones. He is going to spend the rest of his life without hope and without light. But while he's crossing the bridge, a court official stops him and presses a paper into his hand. When he looks at the paper, he finds out it is a pardon. His eyes are soon dimmed by tears. He is free now. His sorrow has been turned to joy, and he goes home to live a new life. Yes, first, God forgave us all our sins. Secondly, he cancels the written code. Thirdly, he took it away by nailing it to the cross, verse 14. To understand that concept, we must remember that the substance of ancient documents were written on either papyrus made from bulrush or was written on vellum, which was made from the skin of animals. Both were fairly expensive and certainly not to be wasted. Did you know that ancient ink had no acid in it? It merely lay on the surface and did not bite into the material as modern inks do. Sometimes a scribe, to save paper, used papyrus or vellum that had already been written on. When he did so, he would take a sponge and wipe the writing away. Because it was only on the surface of the paper, the ink could be wiped out as if it had never been. Think of it. God, in his amazing mercy, banished the record of our sins with all the shed blood of the Lamb to wash away those sins. He merely just washed them away. Think of it. Christ was nailed to the cross. My sin was nailed to the cross, and my canceled IOU was also nailed to the cross. Consider this. Jesus carried our sins to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Consider Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Interesting word, iniquities, isn't it? And the verse goes on and says, "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus carried our iniquities to the cross. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let's come to terms with that word iniquity. An iniquity is more than just a sin. It is a bent towards sin. An iniquity is a leaning towards sin. An iniquity is a habit. Here it is. Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, carried our habits to the cross as well. First, he forgave us our sins. Secondly, he canceled the written code. Thirdly, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And fourthly, having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the power of the cross. He pardoned us. He saved us. And yes, he forgave us forever. God, in a miraculous way, replaces my guilt and my shame with his love and his peace. I'm reminded of the story of Horatio G. Spafford, a Chicago lawyer. Oh, it was the year 1873. He sent his wife and his four daughters on a trip to France. But on their way, their ship was struck by another and sank. Of the 225 passengers, only 87 of them survived. Mrs. Spafford was among the survivors, but the four daughters perished. As soon as she reached land, she telegraphed to her husband these words, "Saved alone, children lost, what shall I do?" Can you imagine receiving a telegram like that? "Saved alone, children lost, what shall I do?" Mr. Spafford left for France to join his wife and bring her back to Chicago. As they passed over the place where the ship had gone down, he wrote these words to this hymn. These are words that are so powerful today to our hearts. Listen to these words. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You see, he found peace at the cross. Notice the third verse. At a time when he must have been wondering if there was some hidden sin in his life which had brought all these recent problems, perhaps his punishment, so many people think that, he found assurance in God's word at the cross, assurance that all his sins were nailed to the cross. And then he wrote these words, "My sin, O the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." Would you take a moment and pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you today for the cross. I thank you for Jesus Christ, who willingly laid his life down at the cross. No one took his life. He willingly chose to lay it down. I thank you, our heavenly Father, that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sins. Lord, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. I ask right now that you would come into my life and save me. I ask right now that you would re-energize me, reinvent me, recreate me, so that I would live for you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the forgiveness that is mine at the cross. Thank you that I get to start over. Thank you for the book of Lamentations chapter 3 that says, every morning I get to start over because God's love is new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. Lord, right now I commit myself to you. May I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can also find this and other programs of ours by Googling the Good News Christian Ministries. Click on Ministries, then on Broadcasting. Now don't forget to worship in the church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Now, as we conclude today's program, here is the hymn that we spoke about, "It Is Well." You find this on the World's Greatest Hymns CD. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. Amen.
Souls like sea.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.